The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland.
Hello.
In the hizzy.
How we doing?
How you doing, man? Good?
Doing great. Sort of night off sports. Had the College World Series on last night. Started doing some NFL prep, some NBA prep. We got homework to do, Gil Alexander.
Yes, we do.
And Adam Burke is eagerly awaiting us to turn in our homework.
Oh, that homework.
That homework.
I thought you were like, we got to make some NBA draft bets. Well, I'm like, yes, we do. Then you're like, you haven't filled out your thing yet, have you? No, I have not. Sorry, Adam. I'll do it. I want to be the first this year. Somebody already submitted it? Yeah.
You could have been first, I believe, yesterday, but then the show before us having to be the star pupils. I believe Dave and Jensen ran to get their stuff in.
What's a teacher's pet?
Yeah. Make sure to remind Adam Burke we got a pop quiz at the end of the week, too.
Speaking of the show before us, Jensen Lewis, co-hosted by The Books, will join us here momentarily to talk College World Series. You see that yesterday, man.
That was a crazy game. And then an insane ninth inning.
For those who missed it, top nine, Justin Thomas Jr., two RBI knock to put Arkansas up 5-3. And everybody who has the Arkansas futures is pumped because that would force a rubber match today between LSU and Arkansas. And then bottom nine, LSU runners on first and second, one out. Tailor-made double play. Some say potential. I'd say tailor-made. Shortstop Aloy decides to go to third for the putout. And you know what happens next, right? Of course.
Tailor-made or Easton-made?
Next batter, Luis Hernandez, liner to left that hits off the diving left fielder Charles Davalan's shoulder. Two RBI knock. We're tied at five. Next batter, you guessed it again, Jared Jones, game-winning base hit.
I feel bad for the kid. I don't know.
Who, the shortstop or the left fielder?
Left fielder.
I feel bad for the shortstop more.
Okay.
The left fielder, when those balls dive like that, and it's kind of been like this in the College World Series, those are tough to field.
Right.
But... just turn the double play. Anyway.
I mean, like, it was about as bad as you could have done, right? That's why I feel bad for him.
Yeah, no, it's college baseball. You do feel bad for him. But anyway, it's going to be LSU and Coastal Carolina. We'll get Jensen Lewis's thoughts on that and Major League Baseball today as well. Full slate. What was with the schedule yesterday in Major League Baseball where they didn't have day games? Like, what are we doing?
They should always. I mean, like, I'm getting more angry about that with the NBA during the regular season. Like, just throw one game earlier, you know, almost every day. MLB has no excuses.
And it is Thursday, so Zach and Crack, Zach Cohen, see if he has any tennis to play today on grass courts in England. Of course, NBA thoughts for NBA Finals Game 6 tonight. Will Tyrese play? Will he not? Tyrese says, I'm going to do everything in my power to play. I don't know what that means. Game time decision. And, of course, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, looking forward to picking his brain for an hour. I don't even have to pick his brain. He just sort of comes out of his brain.
Yep.
We'll get to that. And then Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros. We'll do that as well. Kelly poses questions. I answer.
My favorite part about Unscripted with Bill Krakenberger is when I'm in the back and I get to see Bill say bring up something, you give your thoughts on it. And yep. I can see in Bill's face that he's already moved on to the next topic and he's creating what he's about to say in his mind.
Not interested to hear what I have to say. He's already moved on. I did make a bet yesterday. I did bet Max Fried plus 850 to win American League Cy Young. We did the whole Tom Tango thing yesterday. So I did put I put a bet down on Fried plus 850. Now this is I could have had him at 14-1 when Montesano was talking about it, but somehow I didn't do it then. So plus 850 on Max Fried. Scooble on the hill today. Detroit in a day-night doubleheader because they got rained out. Part of the reason that there was no day games. Well, this is actually, no, it's not true. The schedule only had one day game yesterday. But Detroit got rained out, so they have a day-night doubleheader. For our June bets, most wins June. This is a massive day for the Detroit Tigers, for those who tailed on that. You got to win both of these against the Buccos because right now the Astros are at 12-4 atop the June most wins board. Rays and Red Sox both at 11-5. Then you have five teams at 10 wins. We're at 9, if I can say the Tigers and I are we.
Yeah, because
9-6.
Because I'm involved this month, too. Yeah, so it's really me and you,
me and you.
Okay?
We.
Me and you, we.
So got to sweep today. Come on now, Tigers.
Let's go.
What could go wrong? We also made some NBA draft bets.
That's right.
6 days before the NBA draft. This just in. Special numbers game investigation reveals the NBA draft is in 6 days. And we have some, I don't know if he wants to be revealed, but we have someone who might have some inside info, some thoughts on this. So it induced a bet from me. It also induced a bet or two from you. You did something else with one of them. Explain what you've bet so far.
I have two right now. I mean, flat out, I played Derek Queen over 10.5. That's a flat out tale of Luke Swain, though, who will get on the show at some point. He's fired, I think, two or three bets already. I know we can talk about struggling with the drafts being tougher to bet these days, but man, that guy, you still go look at what he's doing every single year in not only NFL, but NBA and NHL, and Luke Swain continues to crush.
Vegas refund on Twitter.
Yep. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I played Patrick Queen or Derek Queen when that came down over 10.5. And then Conca Dipple, we played this morning, top five pick, at even money. Now this is of just a few days ago, his draft position was like 6.5. So we did miss out a little bit on that. But this, I mean, this was something I was already considering, Gil. And then you get this story.
Yes.
With Ace Bailey, that's just really head scratching because he's been kind of penciled in as a top three pick, you know, either 2-3 really the past month or so.
Right now, what the NBA draft looks like is Cooper Flagg goes one, no surprise there. And it looks like, at least based on betting markets, right, that Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey's teammate at Rutgers, goes two.
Yes.
Ace Bailey was kind of supposed to go maybe three to Philly.
Yes.
But he hasn't worked out for anybody. He refuses to work out for anybody, which is curious. And by the way, now he's fallen to the third shot to go third. Vijay Edgecombe of Baylor is now the favorite to go with a number three pick to Philly. Part of that is Ace Bailey's refusal to work out. At least that's what the market is saying. So both of us have played Con Knepple of Duke to go top five at even money. Whose mock is this?
Right, if you're watching at home, this is Jonathan Gavoni's mock from ESPN. Okay. This just came out yesterday. He updated that with a little bit of the Ace Bailey news coming down then.
Yeah, and Trey Johnson of Texas, who's mocked here to go fifth to Utah, he's the second shot to go third now in front of Bailey as well at DraftKings. So a little drama maybe at the top of the NBA draft. Again, 6 nights away, but we're starting to fire anyway.
Yeah, the one I'm a little upset I didn't bet like a month ago whenever these markets first opened up, I guess, is Vijay Edgecombe. Because like the Ace Bailey stuff dropping, yeah, and I don't think we could have really seen that coming. But man, hearing from a lot of the guys towards the end of the college basketball season even, it felt like a lot of the mock drafters then were really high on Edgecombe, thinking he could be number two or three. And then it was when Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, that steam picked up a little bit. So I'm a little upset I didn't just put in a flyer on Edgecombe earlier. Because he's like minus 300 now to be third overall, I think. It's like close to that. I think the top three are fairly set.
You think Edgecombe is definitely going third now?
Yeah, after what happened yesterday, yeah. I think it's getting pretty likely, yeah.
Here's the thing. Again, if we're in Nevada, we don't have very much of this available. So I don't know how many draft picks I'm going to have beyond Knepple going top five, because it'll be dependent on what's available, unless I have to do the old muling out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Zach Cohen's got a couple, too. He'll talk to us about it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Game six tonight, before we get Jensen in here. Obviously, Tyrese Haliburton is the big story. You can't stop at Tyrese, because then Tyrese Gibson comes to mind, star of Fast and Furious. Haliburton is who we're talking about here. 6.5 is the number now in favor of the Thunder. This is the same as it was 24 hours ago. It's kind of that no man's land thing where it moved to a point where it now is nimble, where it will go either direction based on what we hear about Haliburton, I would imagine. And so, it will skyrocket if he doesn't play, or if it's announced he doesn't play, it'll probably maybe even take down a point or two. Who knows if he does? Game time decision still. Again, Tyrese says, I will do everything in my power to play. 222 now, the total. What do you got here officially? Anything?
I've got nothing tonight. I've just got the Thunder futures. I'm hoping to close out tonight. The spread movement will be very interesting to watch. My guess, Gil, would be... My guess is he's going to go. He's going to play.
I know what you're going to say. Will it go down at all is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to go down. I think it will a half point, something like that. Like, I we go so to too. 6, 5.5, something like that. But with everybody saw what he looked like at the end of last game. Even if he goes, I think you got to assume he's going to be limited either in ability or in actual minutes, right? However, to your point, if he gets ruled out, I think this flies up to 8.5, something like that is what we're probably staring at come closing time. But I'm interested to see how that moves. The total's interesting as well because we know it's a closeout game at 222. And if Halliburton is, now you've got Tyrese in my head. If Halliburton is limited or doesn't play at all, okay, man, he drives this whole engine that is the Pacers in the pace that they play at. I mean, it would be a hard look at the under for me. Or just Pacers team total under.
Yeah. Like I said, Pacers did great for me, though. The whole playoffs made me a lot of money, but the last two games, especially the horrible bad beat in game 4, followed by the Plinko loss in game 5, I kind of think I'm out either way here tonight.
I honestly think Pacers team total under is probably the best bet to go with. Yeah, it's just, I know JVT was on yesterday with us. I completely agree with him. Siakam has to have a big game, and I do expect him to, because so much of the offense will be funneled through him, with a limited Halliburton or without a Halliburton. The real interesting one to me, and this is where I was trying to get to a bet somewhere yesterday, is who else makes up some of those minutes in the backcourt, assuming he does miss some time or gets limited on minutes a bit. Like JVT said, I don't know that there's an easy answer. I think a lot of people are going to go right to TJ McConnell, but McConnell works so well with the backup unit. I would look more towards Nembhard, Nesmith first, but those guys are challenged so much on the defensive side of what they're asked to do with Shea. So it's not an easy answer.
All right, VSiN.com/picks. By the way, you have a tennis play in action if you have tailed that. All subscribers get every host, every guest, every sport. Rybakina, Siniakova over. On serve in the first 5-5. Let's go.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you want to bet smarter, and I know you do, start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out Greg Peterson's MLB best bets at VSiN.com.
Hoops
Peterson. In addition, NBA Game 6 best bets and player props, UFC Fight Night, Hill versus Roundtree Jr., best bets on that. And later today, you can check out Steve Mackinnon's power ratings and betting trends, JBT's MLB picks and props, and Zachary Cohen's tennis best bets. We'll have Zach on here momentarily. Right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99 to get full access to all VSiN articles. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. By the way, I got a bad scoreboard thing. Rybakina wins the first set 6-4, so that's not good. Bad scoreboard. Not good for the over.
What do you mean bad scoreboard?
My scoreboard went to 5-5.
Oh, God.
So that's an unfortunate turn of events.
I feel like your tone makes it sound like this happens from time to time.
Not very often.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, that sounds absurd for whatever stat service to be doing that to you.
Not exactly a stat service. Just Google. Just refreshing on Google. Sometimes
still supposed
I mess
to be
it up.
Coming from a sports radar or something, right?
Something.
Can I do a quick golf update?
Yes, please, because this is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Over at the Travelers. Okay, first round leader bets. I did make a few this morning. This one's not fair. Nick Taylor, I do have at 60-1. He's 2 under par right now, T2. Guys that have not teed off yet, though, that I also did play, Sepp Straka, Russell Henley, and Siwoo Kim, if you want to get in on the Thursday fun with me. At the top of the leaderboard right now, though, Gil, one Davis Riley, who was not in this tournament as of 4 hours ago, but Brian Campbell had to withdraw this morning. Davis Riley got the nod as the replacement, and he currently has a 2-shot lead at 4 under par.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. And then it's Nick Taylor, Joe Highsmith, Harry Hall, Wyndham Clark, all at 2 under par right now.
All right. It's a good, nice little story, at least early.
Yeah.
In the tournament. Let's bring in this gentleman. He's the co-host of By the Books. He does it with Captain America, Dave Ross, each and every morning here at the network. We are pleased to have him here, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jensen Lewis talks of baseball with us. How you doing, Jensen?
I'm good, boys. Great to be with you. And what a crazy finish last night in Omaha. Just wild times for these games. But boy, they've been dandies all the way through.
I went through it a bit before we get to the finals here, the best of three finals. I went through it a little in the first segment. Runners at first and second, down 2 runs, 1 out. I called it a tailor-made double play. Now, they were, because these are college kids, right? They were very careful on the broadcast and sort of afterwards, SVP, to say potential double play, right? But just between you and me, that was tailor-made, wasn't it?
It should have been. We never assume a double play, but I said it to Dave this morning, 900 of 1,000 times. That's an automatic. You go 6-4-3, and we'd have a 7 o'clock first pitch Eastern time, winner take all between the Hogs and the Tigers. But Surreal finish, man. Really feel awful for anyone who had the under 10 and a half. I know I was on the alternate line, Arkansas minus one, money line. I mean, all the way through, just horrible, horrible beats. And I'm convinced now, Gil, Arkansas is cursed. I mean, this happened to them last time they were in this spot to win the national title. Did not get across the line. And there will be horror stories about this one many, many years to come.
So now it's a best of three. It's Coastal Carolina, which has coasted, no pun intended, 26 wins in a row. Haven't lost since April 22nd, going up against Big Bad LSU. But look, at some point, if you win 26 games in a row, I don't care what sport it is, at what level, you're not scared of anything. Coastal's a plus 135 dog in game one. They're a plus 155 series dog. Live?
I think so. And really the it factor too, Gil. And I guess the best case scenario plays out here for both Coastal and LSU, because all the big guns as far as rotation arms will have the extra days, not only today and tomorrow to rest, but you get the night game on Saturday. So almost 2.5 full days of rest in addition to what guys have already in tow. So I would assume it's Cade Anderson for LSU on Saturday night. Potentially Jacob Morrison here for Coastal Carolina, but we'll kind of see what Kevin Schnall wants to do. And then Sunday afternoon at 2:30, Anthony Ionson definitely going to be in there. Riley Eichhoff will be back for Coastal Carolina. I mean, you get premium starting pitching no matter the matchups here for both Saturday and Sunday. As I look, I just took a real quick look at some of the betting splits. Right now, it looks like a bit more of the money on LSU. You got to lay a little bit there at $1.75. for game one. Anxious to see what that number looks like as we get closer to Saturday. But all in all, I think we get a really compelling story here. Coastal has been as good as anyone. I mean, they rolled through. This is a conversation you and I had, Gil. Mm-hmm. We were looking at potential upsets for lower national seeds, and a lot of talk was about Florida coming through the Conway Regional. That did not come to pass, wasn't even close, as Coastal boat raced through their regional, and then absolutely laid the wood to Auburn at Plainsman Park there in 2Q for the Tigers en route to Omaha. So I think they're incredibly live. I think they have that feeling of like, hey, everyone's going to overlook us because it's Big Bad LSU. But they've got all the ingredients to definitely take this home. No question about it.
And LSU had themselves an elimination game, if I'm not mistaken, in the regionals against Little Rock, right? They won six in a row since then. Yeah they were on death's door in this. But you're right, in past College World Series, though, again, we, you know, famously hit Ole Miss in 2022 at a big number. I remember the whole handicap at that point was, oh my God, you got to get the rotation right. And I remember there was a big deal where the ace, I can't remember exactly the details, but Ole Miss was always sort of not on schedule. But here we have two teams full strength, right? This is going to be awesome.
It is, and that's why I said that the best case scenario from a pitching staff standpoint plays out here with the extra day of rest, and knowing for LSU particularly that they do not have to come back and expend however many resources tonight just to get through. So absolutely, frontline starting pitching, and shout out Kevin Schnall. If you didn't know how to pronounce Chanticleers before, mm-hmm. Everyone's going to know how to do it with them playing for the national title this weekend.
And just before we move on to MLB, do you have a future on either of these two teams still alive or no?
I had Arkansas, I think upwards of 650 was the last one I had left. And I think you and I will still have the FOMO as we discussed what that brutal board looked like when the field of 64 was revealed. Just seeing what we could have gotten Coastal at. Oh, that would have been nice to have.
I am on a spectacular multi-sport run of saying a team that I think is going to win it and then not betting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting right on the doorstep or actually winning it. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, to Major League Baseball. Unlike yesterday, Jensen, we actually have full-day Major League Baseball, which is kind of awesome. How many different ways are we going today? What do you got?
So I looked to a couple of early overs here. Nation's Capital, all of a sudden the Rockies can hit outside of Coors Field, and the Nationals are just downright awful. 11 straight losses here. Trevor Williams on the bump, Chase Dolander. The Rockies Nats over 9.5. Definitely a spot for me, play in pocket. Do think the pitching matchup lends us to not only a really bad bullpen for the Nats, but the way that the Rockies have been swinging it, I think we get to 10 or more in relatively easy fashion. Also going to go out to the Bay Area. My Guardians somehow have turned the trick here in the first two games, been able to beat the Giants. I am going to back San Francisco. I'm going to play an alternate run line here. I'm going to play a minus one at minus $1.23. Back Logan Webb against Gavin Williams. Do feel you've got some day game hitters there, particularly with the Giants. Rafi Devers, a guy who has swung it really well during day games, would be a guy to look at. Stephen Kwan, also on the flip side for Cleveland. I think Aaron Judge, it has been really tough to put the ball in play for him as of late, but I like him for two or more total bases there at Yankee Stadium today. He's had horrible numbers against Tyler Anderson in his career, which is kind of befuddling. Maybe with TA throwing way under the hitting speed from the left side, it's given him some fits here. But I do think he gets back on the right side. Late tonight, guys, Sacramento overs. Love to play those as well. So Astros Athletics, not the best of starting pitching matchups there. So I'll take the over 10 for that game tonight. And I think that at the moment will probably add throughout the day. But those are the early plays for me on the diamond as well.
Yeah, a few follow-ups. Nationals this month, since we're always talking about the monthly market, 2-14, dead last. The next worst team has five wins this month. So that's how bad they've been. I too will be backing the Giants today. I will play a first five minus a half a run on Logan Webb. Giants just got to give him run support. I know they did last time out, but that's been the bugaboo when Logan Webb is on the mound. And then the third thing you said, the overs in Sacktown. Like, we haven't talked about this in a while here on the air, but I'm in Spanky's up to the All-Star break handicapping contest, and I'm still playing these. I played it two nights ago to success. Yesterday I didn't because Framber Valdez was on the hill, and it still soars over. So it just has a habit of getting there in Sacramento. Name your reason. I have mine, but there's tons of reasons why people think this is happening. One other thing, just from a betting standpoint, yesterday the Orioles were up 8-0 on the Blue Jays, and they somehow still pushed on the first five. This is one of great moments in first five betting history. I don't know if you were a part of that, but it reminds me of a game in 2015 when Chris Tillman was pitching for the Orioles. I had the Jays that day. We were trailing. My Jays bet was trailing 7-0, and then Chris Tillman just gacked it, and I won the first five bet 9-8. So, betting baseball, man. By the way, Rays end up winning it 12-8. Give me the right now the team, and we have 10 seconds here. Give me the team that you think is the most underrated in Major League Baseball.
I would say it's the Rays. If they get Shane McClanahan back to it second half, that's could be a team to be a force to be reckoned with, no question.
As good an answer as any, because we never talk about it. Never talk about it. Thank you, Jensen. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Jensen Lewis at JLou50 on the Twitter machine. Are we sure? Next, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting on sports? Why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races, every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm going to Ron Burgundy through them, Kelly. Stand by. Stand by the button.
I was enjoying Cowboys primetime one yesterday.
What did he say?
Yeah, you had to say some semi-choice language during it.
Did I read it?
Yeah. It was good. It was good. I'm glad you read it. I'm glad he tweeted it.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. Larry Fresh, listening to yesterday's show about breaking and Beat Street. Remember we got into the whole popping and locking and the breakdancing movies from the early 80s. He watched Breakin'. He said, really rough watch as an adult, but as a kid, I loved it. And it answers the question, what were the names of the stars? Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp. So those were the names that I was looking for yesterday. Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp. Michael Mish, good morning. Could anyone expect such poor execution by the Hogs? Robinette at first base, Aloy at short, Davalan in left field, and should they have walked Jared Jones with first base open? Gibbler, the reliever, was excellent. It was brutal, man. It was brutal to watch. Aloy at short and Davalon at and left field. You just felt bad for the kid. By the way, I will say this, the ultimate in, you know, team play. They all went out to left field and gave Davalon a hug, and you just felt even worse for it. It's tough. Primetime, your guy, Cowboys_1. Yo, hey, man, not sure why, but heard your mom listening to your opening and questioning in her beloved voice. Gilly, what is this hizzy that your country club and friend is in every morning? Does he not have a home? Not sure why she cares. She doesn't know him. I like when he imitates my mom here. I enjoy it. Thank you for bringing her back. Fairway Fred, Hogs just can't get out of the 2018 foul ball rain cloud. Yeah, Jensen was talking about that, right? It's just a Arkansas snake bit. Los Vegas 514, yo, the shortstop had to go to second and at least make an attempt at a double play. Felt bad for the whole team to be so close, but yet lose again. Talk about the agony of defeat. Sheesh. Yeah. And Larry Fresh, again, adds, he goes, thanks for including the Halliburton. I thought something happened to Roman Pierce from our movie.
There we go. Deep cut. Way to go, Larry.
Tyrese Gibson.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll read more of your tweets here coming up. But Zach Cohen is joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, recent senior writer, and, of course, NBA guy, tennis guy, and beyond. How you doing, Zach?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Let's start with tennis. We have much to talk about here. You have nothing left today, you said, but you have something tomorrow.
Yeah, nothing left today, but I do like Alex Mickelson tomorrow against Daniil Medvedev. I'm probably going to be playing the plus 1.5 sets there at about minus 160, and I'm also going to sprinkle the money line, which is pretty close to plus 200. I just think Mickelson has looked really sharp on grass to start the season. Is a player that I believe could give Medvedev a lot of problems because he has one of the best backhands on tour, and Medvedev's still a player that, while he's won, you know, three matches on grass so far, I'm still fading him right now. I just don't think that serve looks right. One of the wins on grass was a really close win over Adrian Mannarino, not one that I think was really all that impressive. I just don't really see him as a top 10 player, and I think he's being priced kind of where he used to be just because of a small resurgence to start the season.
Yeah, Mickelson's so good on hard court, so good on grass. Did you happen to catch, we were just sort of talking off air about tennis's relationship with bettors and how for some reason in tennis it feels like the bettors are almost worse than any other sport. They like attack the players after they lose bets. Did you happen to catch Gael Monfils in his French accented English talking about how gamblers went after him when he lost to Mickelson? Did you see this?
I did see that. Yes.
He was just like, who's this stupid one? I'm playing a 20 something year old on his best surface. It was just incredible. Monfils going right back after the gamblers. That's what has gotten to it, Dennis. It's just awful. That, yep. And you wonder why sports betting has a bad name with some of these sports. Okay, to the NBA. Let's start. Before we get to your draft plays here, your thoughts, what about game 6 tonight? Obviously, that's the headliner, the potential closeout, the potential first championship in Oklahoma City history. I know Seattle. I know that you won one, but I'm trying to respect you and not combine the two things. What are you doing here? Are you doing anything with this game?
I actually took Pacers plus 7.5, which I got a good price on when it was at 6.5 at a worse VIG. So I did buy a point, and I do think this is going to be a closer game than people think. I just don't really buy Oklahoma City's offense on the road. So I know Halliburton might be out or might be compromised, but I do think the Pacers have really strong guard play regardless. I think we've seen TJ McConnell, you know, have his moments in this series, and I don't think he would hesitate at once, you know, if he is forced to play 30 plus minutes in this game. And Nembhard is capable of handling the ball a little bit too. So if the Thunder just don't perform the way that we've seen them perform even in game 5 on the road, I just don't see them winning this game by such a wide margin. I mean, look back to game 4, they were 3-for-16 from 3. In game 5 they shot it better, but they didn't shoot, you know, a lot of them. I just think they're going to have to knock down threes on the road to put this team away.
Oklahoma City trying to be the fourth team of all time to win 84 games combined regular season and playoffs. The 73 win Warriors team, the 72 win Bulls team, and another Michael Jordan Bulls team. The only other three to get to 84 wins. That's what the Thunder trying to do tonight in winning their first championship. If it does go to a game 7, where do you think you'll be there? Do you think you'll also take Pacers plus the points?
I don't think so. I've been going pretty heavy to the Pacers all series, but I do think in a game 7, I would lean Oklahoma City playing at home, you know, against a banged up Halliburton in an arena where we've seen guys like Wiggins and Wallace, you know, contribute offensively, whereas they have not done that on the road. I would trust the Thunder to kind of ramp things up defensively again in a game that I would imagine would be allowed to be pretty physical, which would, you know, favor Lou Dort and Alex Caruso. So I think I'd be laying the points in game 7, but it does depend how many.
Yeah, okay. Last thing before we get to the draft, and I want you to be as honest as you can because I know you're a mild-mannered guy, but you had a shot at winning the Killer Sports VSiN NBA Challenge. and you had the Pacers plus the points in game four, which would have kept you alive. And that, of course, is the famous one where somehow the Pacers, who were leading most of the game, were never in jeopardy of not covering the spread, but in fact did not cover in the end because of the Mathurin shenanigans down the stretch and missing free throws and all that, fouling before the inbounds. How mad, on the Zach Cohen scale of mad, how mad were you?
I was very mad. There were some expletives in the house. My wife was very aware of what was going on. I was very, very angry at what happened in that. Mostly, it didn't have anything to do with the money. I just have not been in many of these contests. And obviously, Svezic is just so accomplished in this space. It would have been really cool, to take down first or at least tie for first. So I was very upset with that. I'll be more angry, I guess, if I win tonight, because it would have been a win-win situation, I believe.
Yeah, Zach can still take second place, though, in the $500 second place prize.
I don't really know how angry Zach Cohen actually gets.
That's pretty angry for Zach.
The text message that me and JVT received after that game, it was the angriest text message I had ever seen from Zach Cohen.
The fact that the wife was aware of what was happening, that's pretty angry. All right, NBA draft, 6 days away, 6 nights away, if you will. What have you bet so far? What are your general thoughts?
So the two that I have so far, Noah Essanguet under 9.5. This is a French forward with a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. Kind of reminds me of like a French Aaron Gordon, just the type of player that I think a lot of front offices are going to really value. And I'm not blind to the fact that the Raptors are picking 9 and have kind of liked those types of players in the past. So I think that if Toronto does end up picking at 9 and keeping their pick, I could really see Masai Ujiri taking him. And I also think there's a shot he ends up going a little bit earlier, just because there are few players in this draft that very well might fall on draft night. So definitely looking at Noah Essanguet under 9.5. The other one I really like is Ryan Kalkbrenner to go in the first round at -105. This is a really good center draft, so maybe teams think that they can get some guys in the second round. But, man, I just think that he was such a good rim protector for Creighton. He never fouled. He got a lot better from his freshman to senior season, shooting the basketball, passing the basketball. I just think there are playoff teams that are going to view him as potentially a rotation-ready big right from day one, just because of how old he is, how experienced he is.
What do you anticipate? How many bets do you think you'll end up with us on this draft?
I don't go crazy. I had 5 last year, and I really do follow, the reporting from Jonathan Givony on ESPN, because there's some really good stuff inside his mock drafts, not just looking at who's going where. Look at the reporting on some of the things that he's hearing from front offices, because he'll spoil a lot of it with Zach Edey last year. It was very obvious to me that he was going to end up going top 10, but there were some numbers out there for his unders that were just outrageous, 18.5. And I just think that there's going to be more of that stuff this year. So I definitely stress really reading that stuff, even if it does take some time.
So Noah Essanguet under 9.5, Ryan Kalkbrenner to go first round. Those are two bets. You also have two leans, Jeremiah Fears from Oklahoma under 7.5 and Liam McNeely under 21.5.
Yeah, so I haven't placed these yet, but Fears is a player that is being viewed as the likely candidate to go to the Nets at number 8. But there are rumors about the Nets and Pelicans and other teams trying to trade up. And I just wonder if teams think that they have to be picking before 8 to get Fears. And then with McNeely, it's just there's a lot of love for Con Knipple in this draft. A lot of people want, an NBA ready 3-point shooter. Well, maybe the team that misses out on Knipple and really wanted him ends up trying to get McNeely a little bit later on.
All right. I don't want to upset you further, but Fezzik's tiebreaker was the Boston Celtics to win the title.
That is why I thought that I was going to win if I won too.
I know. Oh, man. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are We Sure? Next.